It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are in the midst of a five-part series in which we talk with the five Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors individually. It's a chance to hear straight from the board members about issues facing their specific district and the county as a whole. Today, we're pleased to be joined by District 4 Supervisor Steve Griefer. Supervisor Griefer, it's great to have you on Motherlode Views.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So it's been about 10 months that you've been in the role of supervisor now. How has the experience gone to this point?
Just like high school, that freshman year is always quite the learning experience.
So District 4 specifically, what does it all include? Take us around your district.
Well, District 4 is the largest geographical district, so we have everything from Yosemite Park all the way down to the Don Pedro area, the Chinese Camp area, and then Algerine, Jacksonville, over to Standard Park, Ward's Ferry area. So it's a very large district.
What would you say are kind of the biggest projects and issues right now in your district?
Well, I think overall, we've had a lot of, we're coming out of the summer season, so there's been a lot of tourism. We've had a lot of activity, with beautification and projects going on in the Groveland area as well as over in the Standard Park area. Unfortunately, we did have the lightning fire, so we've had some big projects of the rebuilding and repopulation over in Chinese Camp. But those are kind of all the normal things going on in the district right now.
Yeah, Chinese Camp being in your district, what are your kind of your observations having been through and seeing the devastation?
Well, it's tough. The best part about the Chinese Camp people is they're very hardy and resilient, and they're great individuals. And we want to make sure that they are getting the assistance and the help. We're working with our partners on the county and the federal level, state levels, to make sure that we're getting the resources necessary. But they're great. Individuals to work for and to represent, and the rebuilding is underway.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is kind of the latest on the cleanup and the rebuilding efforts?
Yeah, so we had a town hall meeting a couple weeks ago where Dory Beast with the Department of Emergency Services came out, and we are doing phase one, which is a basic walk through the properties, removing the hazardous materials, old propane tanks, batteries, things like that. And then once phase one is completed, we'll start phase two, which is going to be a more in-depth cleaning of the properties and assessing the wells as well as septic fields and things like that. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Do you have any idea like how long of a process this is going to be?
Well, phase two should be about 4 to 6 months. We do have a couple hurdles. We're going into the winter, so it'll be weather dependent on how we can address some of that. And then getting the organizations that will be part of the cleanup, recyclers and, organizations like that, we're probably going to 3 to 4 months, assuming everything goes well.
Saying on the topic of fire, there's always been questions recently about fire services in the Groveland area. Can you kind of explain the current status when it comes to fire in Groveland and concerns and challenges on the horizon?
Well, we have an unofficial saying in the county is, we don't want it to burn. So I'm very fortunate to have GCSD or the Groveland Service District up there. They have their own fire service engine and personnel. We have a CAL FIRE truck, which is through the SAFER grant in the community as well. So we have a lot of good resources. The county several years ago put in a 12-minute response time. I believe it's 12-minute response time. So they have a lot of resources in that area. The future, we're always struggling to make response time and service, paramount to make sure that we have the resources available. So we'll be working with the state on the SAFER grant to make sure that we continue to get the funding. We're really in a good position right now with the fire personnel. CAL FIRE is a great partner to have for the county. GCSD, again, is a great partner. And I feel very confident and secure that the people in the Groveland area, as well as the Chinese Camp area, have the services that they need.
How about development projects? Groveland being so close to Yosemite National Park, you've had some significant development projects in your district in recent years. Is there still quite a bit of interest when it comes to development?
There's always interest. We have a lot of available area up there for development. There are always those conversations. We had Firefall Ranch go in. So they have brought in a lot of tourism. They're always looking to be great partners and potentially expand. You know, there's always someone out there that's interested in possibly developing some of that land over there. So the conversation is always ongoing. I don't have anything specifically ready to go, but, you know, there's always what can we do for the people.
You know, still being a relatively new supervisor, what would you say are kind of your top priorities and goals as a member of the supervisors?
Well, like I said, this has kind of been a wild first 10 months. The primary goal for me is to make sure that we have representation both on the county level as well as the state level, that the people in South County believe that they have a voice and that they're being heard, as well as the north side of the river, you know, the Standard Park area, the South Sonora area. We want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to be heard, and we want to make sure that the line of communication is open. I wasn't really super focused on having one topic or another to focus on this year, but fire now and fire insurance has really popped to the top of that list because, unfortunately, we did have so many homes lost during the Chinese Camp fire, and they were uninsured because they couldn't afford it. So working with the other electeds, both in the county and on the state level, to address the insurance concerns is now very paramount and where I want to kind of focus on.
I know a lot of people know about your background, but for those who don't, tell us about your background and what you did before coming into this role.
So I transferred up here in 2012. I was a California Highway Patrol officer, so I worked for the CHP here locally. I was stationed in the Groveland area. Before that, I worked in the Bay Area for the CHP. So I kind of know a lot of the people, and I know the areas, both professionally working, you know, for the Highway Patrol and representing them. And then I lived in the community of Pine Mountain Lake where I was on their board. So I've kind of seen how government works. And I think a lot of that lessons learned in those organizations have kind of helped me, you know, navigate this first year so far.
Yeah, and the first 10 months been a lot of change in county government. We've seen the CAO leave, community development director leave, some other high-level positions. What are kind of your observations, just thoughts right now on the current change in county government?
Change is good. I've said it before. I know people worry that we're not providing the level of service, we're not doing those things, but I can assure you that we are. We are doing the people's work. Change is part of just the natural evolution of things. You know, people take new jobs, they move on for whatever reasons, and we are working with our partners both internally as well as externally to make sure that we're still providing the services that the people require and desire. And I think we've got some big changes and good things coming.
So despite not having all those top people right now, you think the county is still operating as it needs to be?
Oh, absolutely, as it needs to be. You know, it's a little subjective, but, you know, we are focused on making sure that the services are provided. There's going to be some hiccups. Things might be a little bit delayed, but that doesn't mean that we're not focused on them. I would like to thank 100% the staff that has picked up the extra workload. We know that it's been a tough kind of 10 months, but I think there's light at the end of the tunnel. We do have, you know, applications out for a number of our top positions. We are getting a lot of applicants for those positions. So I think in the next, you know, hopefully 6 to 8 months, we go into spring with kind of a new mission and a new, you know, light to say that, hey, we're doing what you need us to do, and we're going to make sure that we represent you accordingly.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with District 4 Tuolumne County Supervisor Steve Griefer on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We're in the midst of a five-part series talking with the individual supervisors. Last week, we heard from Supervisor Ryan Campbell. If you missed that show, it's up in the media section of mymotherlode.com. In the upcoming weeks, we're going to be hearing from Supervisors Zaniah Kirk, Jaron Brandon, and Mike Holland. I'm BJ Hansen. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And we welcome you back to Motherload Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with the five individual Tuolumne County supervisors over five consecutive weeks on Motherload Views. Today we're joined in studio by District 4 Supervisor Steve Griefer. Supervisor Griefer, I want to ask you a little bit more about fire services. The federal SAFER grant is something that Tuolumne County received to help maintain and expand fire services over the past couple of years. That's going to be expiring. What's your opinion on just fire services and moving forward and what the county is going to need to do over the next couple of years?
Well, we were very fortunate to get the SAFER grant. We are waiting to hear. As of today, we have not heard whether or not we will get the SAFER grant reissued. We know not just from the county perspective, but the individual perspective, that we have to do everything we can to have excellent fire service. Again, our partners with Cal Fire is great. So we are, as a board, looking at making sure that the fire service as well as law enforcement and the roads are paramount, because that's what we're hearing back from the constituents. We, as a board, put aside some money into our our contingencies. In the event that we did not receive the SAFER grant, we will have the money there, and we will always be focused on making sure that, as I said earlier, you know, our unofficial slogan is "Don't let it burn." So that's our focus.
County's made a lot of tough budget decisions over the past few months. You know, what are your kind of takeaways and thoughts just on the current budget situation?
I think anytime you have change, as we've gone through this last 10 months when it comes to budget, it's a struggle. We want to make the right decisions. Times are tight. The money's not there. So we have to look at how can we get more with less. And sometimes that means we have to have a reduction in some work staff. We have to look at where our spending is, making sure that we're making the best business decisions when it comes to our spending. Because ultimately, what we asked the staff and the community to accept is that the board is making these reductions so that we can look down into the future. And kind of like any sports analogy, you know, this is a rebuild year. So we're looking at making a championship team in the next 2 to 3 years. And that means we need to cut, you know, our budget and start saving so we can start paying our people better and we can start investing more into the community. So in 3 or 4 or 5 years from now, we have that championship community and organization that I think this county deserves.
You came on the Board of Supervisors before the board made a number of purchases when it came to homeless housing and projects. Some of those things are kind of now being wound back. You know, what's your opinion on the county's approach to homelessness before you arrived on the board? And can you kind of explain about your thoughts moving forward?
Sure. Well, you know, homelessness is a tough position, you know, for any governmental agency, because there's always rules and regulations that we're required to follow. And then there's the human aspect where we want to continue to provide those services for that community that needs assistance. So I was critical of the purchases that I thought the county made regarding some of the buildings. However, I know that the county is now working on potentially, for example, the Miners Motel is classifying that as surplus and then turning that over to a nonprofit or an agency or an organization that we can support and they can run, which I think will be better overall for the service, because it shouldn't be the government's position to run these things. We should be partners to help organizations that specialize in operations like this, so we can provide that level of service for the people who need it.
I think the county went too far before?
I don't know if too far. I think it was a reaction to what was being pushed down from the state level. And I think the government at that time was doing what they felt was the right thing to do. And sometimes you have to stop, as we have, and evaluate and course correct where necessary. And I think this is that course correction.
When you stepped into office shortly after, several grand jury reports were kind of thrown on your lap as a county supervisor. They were critical of county administration and some decisions. What was your reaction to reading those different reports?
Well, I'm very glad that the grand jury took the time to look into these things. I think these are topics that need to be addressed. I mean, we want to have as much transparency as possible. We want to have the people believing in their government, and this is a great step towards that. I really like the fact that they broke up the grand jury reports into a number of individual reports, because it helps us focus on those items that they identified. And then I think there was a lot of truth and honesty in their findings. And I believe wholeheartedly that if there's something incorrect, that we should identify it and address it. And I don't think we should hide from an independent organization looking at us and saying, how can we do better? I solely support the grand jury report, and I think their work is invaluable.
How about Yosemite National Park? Your district and the businesses really rely on the traffic that comes through to goes to Yosemite National Park. As we sit and record this right now, we're in the midst of a government shutdown. Are there issues you're watching closely when it comes to Yosemite?
Well, the biggest issue is what's going to happen to the park. As you stated, when the park shuts down and they restrict the flow of people, it really impacts the 120 corridor. You know, the tourism is the number one industry in that area. So when people feel that they can't get into the park, they cancel the reservations, the hotels suffer, the restaurants suffer, it's really bad. So I've been on the phone a lot with our partners in the park to make sure that if there is going to be significant changes, we get ahead of it beforehand. Right now, although the park is closed per se, they're still allowing people in, so we do still see a lot of people still coming up and enjoying their park. So we're just kind of waiting to see what happens and how long this rolls out.
Do you want the county supervisors to kind of take an active stance when issues come up and pass resolutions, like, say, with the items like with the increase of fees for out-of-country tourists and different other things that come before the park?
I think the supervisor, you know, in my case, you know, if it's, you know, related to that area, yeah, I think, you know, there's a certain responsibility we have to the people that we represent. And then if it's a larger issue, I do believe the board at times does need to take a stand, a position on something, so people know that, A, we're following along with it, and B, we're hearing what they're saying.
What are you hearing from residents in your district about fire insurance right now?
Well, it's a mess. So we had the last board meeting Tuesday, we had a meeting where we had the commissioner's office come before us and tell us about the insurance rates. But everybody in the rural areas understands that the fare plan is not fair to them. It's only fair to the insurance companies. We recognize that the fare plan, as well as other insurance companies, are astronomically high. That's one of the biggest issues that I have with, you know, some of this coverage is people have to choose whether or not to put food on their table or send their kids to college or pay their homeowner's insurance. And it just should not ever be that way. The people in the rural counties, they suffer, and I will do everything I can to echo their concerns up the chain to make sure that we start getting change when it comes to addressing the high cost of insurance.
So you mentioned a member of the Department of Insurance spoke to the Board of Supervisors at Tuesday's meeting. Were there any, you know, highlights at all, or was it more lowlights? What were your takeaways?
I think it was just a general presentation. I respect the presentation and the presenter. I think that was a tough job. It's a tough sell when you're trying to tell people insurance is this, when we know that it's not fair. And, you know, Commissioner Laura is a lame duck. So I think the next biggest thing that we can do to get fair representation is elect somebody who understands insurance and understands what it's like to have to pay the fees that we are in these areas. You know, for example, I pay about $8,500 for homeowner's insurance. My brother, who lives in, you know, Southern California, he pays $2,500, and he lives in a metropolitan area. So how's that fair to the people out in the rural communities to have to pay so much? So it's not an easy solution, but I think we just need to put as much attention on as possible to get the reductions down, and so people can not have to make those hard decisions.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with District 4 Supervisor Steve Griefer on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We're in the midst of a five-part series talking with the individual Tuolumne County Supervisors. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. We'll have our final segment in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And we welcome you back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking with District 4 Tuolumne County Supervisor Steve Griefer on this weekend show. It's part two in our five-part series talking with the individual board members. Supervisor Griefer, how would you kind of describe the state of the county roads right now, number one? And number two, are there any specific roads in your district that really need some work?
Well, we all know that the county roads are not very good. I will say that our county roads department is outstanding. We have invested in them. We're trying to get more employees to come on. We've invested in some equipment. We're doing the training, so you'll start seeing more of the road crews out there using this equipment. You know, it's an issue because, you know, we just don't get the funding through SB1, the gas tax, to pay for a lot of these roads. And we're struggling to find ways to fund them. But I think we have some plans in place to invest internally to start addressing, you know, the roads. I know Big Hill's one. It was mentioned at your last week on Sunday. I know we have a number of roads in District 4, you know, Bonds Flat, you know, Freddy Road. There's a number of roads that we need to, you know, just work on. And I know that the county roads has that on the list. Cleaning of the roads, that's a big issue. We want to go into the winter, make sure that the culverts are clean so we don't have any road failures. And obviously Ward's Ferry is a road that we do need to get open. I would like to acknowledge that Lumsden Road, we've been told, is going to be opened shortly. Well, actually, when I say shortly, I should say in April of next year, which will give people access down to the river. So the roads as a whole is a mess, but we are making strides. And again, I'm very thankful to our roads crew and the staff for fixing those potholes when we call them out.
How about evacuation planning? Is there things that need to be done in your district when it comes to preparing for evacuations?
Well, Ward's Ferry is a primary example of a road that should have been repaired, has not been repaired. We are working on getting some attention there, some potential funding in the future. You know, we're fortunate to have a number of major roads to get out, but it just takes one event to close a road, a jackknife, you know, vehicle or an overturned car. Unfortunately, these things do happen during evacuations. But, you know, Highway 120 is a primary road. Priest Coulterville is a road. That's one road that needs to have some attention on it, but we're going to work on that. Smith Station up to the Mariposa County line is another road that has some concerns that we need to work on. So these roads are definitely on the radar, and we just need to kind of come up with a game plan. You know, as much as I've said this before, I'm territorial. I think all the roads in District 4 need to be fixed first, but I know that's not realistic nor, you know, plausible. However, I know the county roads has a list, or we're working on putting together a list so we can start funding these and addressing them as we go, and not just, you know, for District 4, but for the entire county.
Most people probably think of you as the Groveland, Don Pedro, South County representative, but Standard Park's also in your district too, right? The way the maps are set up?
Yep.
So a lot of tough decisions about Standard Park.
It's funny you say that because, when you start campaigning as I did and then you start learning and someone says, you know, that's in your district, and even I have to go to the GIS map and go, oh, it is in my district. So, you know, Standard Park is a great park. You know, we need to focus on, you know, how can we turn that park around a little bit and get more people to use it and turn it into, you know, something that everybody wants to go to and enjoy. You know, Tuolumne Road was one of those roads that we had talked about. Luckily, I did not have to address some of the hurdles that the former board had to rebuilding that road or addressing it. So, Standard Park is one of those. I think that I know there's been a lot of discussion about Standard Park. So we want to make sure that we hear the people and that we continue to use it the way the people want it to be used.
Do you have any strong opinions about, you know, the idea of keeping it under county control or possibly looking for an outside group who's interested in taking it over?
Well, I think both are true at the same time. And we should not, as an organization, meaning the county, get rid of that park, meaning sell it off or do anything like that. Now, if we can lease it to somebody and they're willing to take it on, you know, private is always easier and cheaper at times to rehab a park or things like that. But I think those discussions need to happen before we make any final determination on what we want to do with that. But I am not in favor of getting rid of the park from the county's perspective. But if we can find somebody who's willing to take it on, I'm a big believer in volunteer work. So if we can get people to come out and volunteer and we can rehab that park and it's been said before, make it the park everybody wants to go to and enjoy, I'm all for that.
Do you think the county can do more to get more volunteers involved and find people who might want to chip in?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I, for years, as it's been stated before, you know, the answer was no, we can't do this, we can't do this. And now it's yes, we can. And I have a saying, don't tell me no, tell me how. So, you know, let's find a way to work with our partners and find a way with the work with the community to start working on their park, because it's their park. It's not my park. It's the county's park. It's the people's park. And so whatever we can do to get the more hands involved and taking pride in that park, I think that park will really become, you know, someplace that everybody will want to go to and use for a long, long time.
As was mentioned, during your first 10 months, there's been a lot of change in county government, being a new member of the board. How would you kind of describe the board dynamics right now among the five supervisors?
It's an unusual board from the aspect of, yes, you have two new freshman, you know, supervisors, you know, Supervisor Holland and myself, and then we have the other three that have been on for some time, and they bring a lot of experience and they have a lot of history to the government. And I think it's like five brothers fighting over the last piece of bread at times, because we're going to argue and we're going to discuss. But at the end, I think all of us are focused on the same thing, is doing the right thing for the people of our individual districts. And that's what you want. You want us to have those loud discussions. You want us to have those disagreements publicly so that people understand that, hey, it's not just we're all marching in the same beat. We are individuals and we represent our districts accordingly. And I respect all of my colleagues. I don't always agree with them, as which is normal. But there's a lot of value to having a mixed board as we do right now, because there's a lot of different perspectives and a lot of knowledge and a lot of new ideas coming forward, which I think will really help the county in the future.
Getting back to your specific district, one thing I want to ask too, fire-related projects. Is there anything going on in your district in relation to fire right now?
There's been some, Cal Fire's been up there, been doing a lot of brush work, a lot of cleaning. I know GCSD has been putting in a water line, which has opened up some paths. They've got a lot of cleaning going on up there. So, as well as, you know, some fire-wise communities have come into, you know, existence there. So there's a lot of, small projects, but a lot of small projects are becoming large projects collectively. We don't have any major event cleanings or things going on right now, but we're waiting kind of hear from the federal government what their plans are. So there's a lot of good change coming. I'm just not exactly sure when it's going to happen.
Being a local elected supervisor, whenever there's issues that people have, they're going to be a lot of times reaching out to their supervisor. Mm-hmm. You know, in your limited time that you've been in office now, what have been kind of like the main concerns and issues that you would say that people have been bringing to you?
Well, you kind of hit them a little earlier. I think fire, everyone's concerned with fire. They're really concerned with the insurance, as I am. The roads is always a primary concern. And a lot of little things too is, how do we get more community involvement? How do we get more projects on the local level being done? And then there's always the little things that we really don't have control over, which are either federal or state related issues. But that's what we're here for, is to take their concerns and move them up the chain and get those answers for them. But it's the usual. It's the roads. It's the, law enforcement. We're very fortunate to have a really excellent sheriff's department. We're really glad to see the additional patrols up in the Groveland, Don Pedro, Chinese Camp area. So it's like I said, I'm an optimist by nature, so I think the future's bright, and so I'm really fortunate to be able to call District 4 home and be their representative.
So there is some additional patrols recently in your area?
Yeah, so the sheriff has, or if they aren't, they will be fully staffed here very shortly, and we have seen more deputies in the Groveland, Don Pedro, Chinese Camp area. I know I forget to mention a lot of times the East Sonora area, which is not my intent, but they also have a lot of new patrols as well as visibility through fire in that area as well. So the whole district as a whole is really in a good spot right now.
Anything going on with housing in your district? Any housing projects or subdivisions?
No, nothing yet. I know there's been some discussion about potential housing for some of the workforce staff up in the Groveland area, as well as in the East Sonora area, but nothing that I could say is moving forward.
It's So stay tuned, potentially, on
the
horizon.
Stay tuned. Yeah, we're always looking for, you know, we want better, you know, we want to have good housing for our workforce. We want to have housing for the people who wish to live and work in our area. It's finding the land to build upon and, you know, finding the funding to do that and being great partners to reach out and find those opportunities. But, yeah, stay tuned. I'm really hoping that we're going to have some good changes here in the next year or so.
Well, Supervisor Griefer, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on Motherload Views today.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
Again, we thank Supervisor Steve Griefer for being our guest on this weekend's Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Tune in next week. We'll hear from District 3 Supervisor Anaya Kirk. We'll see you back next week.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.